Wow, what a crazy weekend in Tucson, Arizona. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. The name of the show, Buckmaster. Ray Allen is here. Ray had a great weekend, and good to see him. He's producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster on Monday, March 21st. And for the first time in a while, the Arizona primary tomorrow really kind of means something. So it's lots to talk about on our political face-off today. This is the first full day of spring. Hope you had a great weekend. Coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We invite you to check out my website, buckmastershow.com. We've got all of our podcasts there for the past 5 years. The Buckmaster Show live line is open, 790-2040. We'd love to hear from you with your questions and comments. And if you'd like to be a friend of the show, go to our Facebook page. We're also on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. We'll get things rolling with our Monday political face-off, followed by Mark Napier will be with us. He'll talk about his political future. Then we'll wrap up the show with the Buckmaster Wildcat sports contributor, Anthony Jimino. Every Monday, we do our Monday political face-off. This week, we have Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is in his third term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And perhaps more importantly than that, he is head of the Republican National Committee Rules Committee, which chairman of that Rules Committee, and this year that has special significance, to say the least. Paul Eckerstrom is here. Paul's the former chair of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. We thank Moe for his support. He believes in political dialogue, and he supports this segment. We thank him for his support over the years. Paul Eckerstrom is with me in studio. Paul, how are you?
Good, good.
Crazy weekend.
Yeah, I actually had a good weekend. I went and saw Bernie Sanders on Friday and then went birdwatching in Madera Canyon over the weekend and missed all the fireworks.
Oh, wow. Well,
and missed Bill Clinton, missed Donald Trump, and, you know, and yeah. I did go vote early today, so good. I voted.
I see you've got your little "I voted early" sticker on. All right, on the live line is Mr. Bruce Ash. Bruce was called back to Washington. Bruce, this was rather unexpected by the Republican National Committee. You were called back?
No, I was just called for a meeting, but just to discuss what we were, you know, what plans we had for the convention to make sure everything is handled expeditiously.
Is there anything you'd like to tell us and our listeners?
Well, nothing I can say right now because the meeting hasn't occurred yet.
I thought I thought there might have been a little news out of your meeting or some possible changes. Bruce, there was a nice piece. Joe Ferguson did a nice little profile on you in the Arizona Daily Star. RNC leader from Tucson could play a key role. I think we can take out could. I think you will be playing a key role. Can you summarize kind of bottom line? Are there going to be any rules changes, Mr. Ash, between now and the convention in Cleveland?
Yeah, that's a great question. And let me answer it this way, Bill and Paul. I serve as the standing committee rules chair. There'll be a, ultimately in the next month or two, there'll be a chairman named by Chairman Priebus for the convention rules committee. Whatever rule changing that I've been involved in has pretty much happened already. We had a once-in-history opportunity from April of 2013 through September 30th of 2014 to make changes having to do with the composition of the Republican National Committee, as well as the rules that governed how all of these primaries were going to be conducted, calendar issues with respect to incentivizing states to follow the rules and so on, the debates that we've made some significant changes. All of the rules from Rule 25 through 42 have to do with the conduct of the convention, rules of order and so on. And the committee I chair may make some suggestions that will go to the RNC for adoption prior to the convention, but ultimately it will be the job of the Convention Rules Committee, to which I hope to be a member of one way or another, either sitting at the head table or amongst the other 112 delegates who make up that that particular committee. But most notably with respect to Rule 40B, which has been under discussion by a lot of folks in the media and a lot of partisans that you read on Facebook and so on, I doubt if we're going to make any changes to that. We'll leave that to the Convention Rules Committee. I will share with you that I've reached out to the campaigns, and none of them, I repeat, none of them I've talked with want there to be any change to 40B at this time. And this is the rule that would keep eight states in majority support for a candidate in order to place a name into nomination. The rule had been since 1976 that it took five states in plurality to place a name in nomination. That rule was changed by the 2012 Convention Rules Committee. It is a temporary rule which is subject to change by the Convention Rules Committee when it convenes in Cleveland just before the summer convention.
All right, let's bring Paul Eckerstrom in. This is a job I don't think any sane
if I have
person.
One, if I had one suggestion to Bruce is,
yeah.
Don't get yourself on that Convention Rules Committee because that's going to be in the eye of the storm if there is an open convention.
How do you please?
You can't. I wouldn't want to be on that in that situation. Maybe Bruce is a glutton for punishment, but I really would not want to be there in that situation where if it's an open convention, because there could be quite a floor fight and there may be real fights over rules, and there are a lot of people may go away very unhappy. I mean, I know Donald Trump has made these proclamations that he thinks if anybody tries to take away the nomination from him at the convention that there would be riots in the street. I don't think he meant it in terms of creating a violent atmosphere, but that there would be a lot of people very, very angry leaving that convention if that happened. So, I mean, Bruce, your friend, I just saw an old picture of a University Aquatic Club on the internet.
Yeah.
And I was on a picture before I had joined the team, but I saw swim team. We were on together. And Bruce was the picture was there, a young man, looked great.
Yeah, yeah.
I just say, Bruce, you're a longtime friend. Don't get on that rules committee for the convention.
Well, if I could just add as a rejoinder, Paul and Bill, the key that we have used, and I started chairing the committee actually in 2009, we have sought to be fair and treat all campaigns and all interests equally. And believe me, if there is a candidate on the first ballot who reaches 1237, or any other ballot, once they reach 1237, there is no group, there is no body who is going to take the nomination away from that particular candidate. And we don't know really yet what's going to be in terms of this being a contested or an open convention as of today. We'll know a little bit more probably Wednesday morning, and we'll probably know more by the time the RNC meets in April in Miami, which is when our next committee meeting will be held. But the mantra that we've used from the very beginning is play by the rules. Everybody has an equal shot. We're not interested in just nominating somebody for the sake of nominating. We want to win, and we want it to be a fair process.
Well, I wouldn't want to be in the eye of that storm. I think, Bruce, you might be best just to stay away from the convention committee. You're on this committee that set up the rules for all the primaries. That's great. I would stay away from that other because if there is a floor fight, Bill, and there's going to be real fight over rules, and if like the Trump supporters think that they've been, you know, shafted by the Rules Committee, for
example. They could walk, you know, and just say they'll go start a third party.
It could be exciting to be in that situation, but I wouldn't want to be in that situation.
Yes, Bruce?
Let me tell you how realistically this works. If nobody gets to the 12-7, it means that there probably are not enough Trump delegates to supersede what the other delegates decide they want to do at the Rules Committee. And that's a possibility. And each state picks their delegates, not necessarily because they supported Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or John Kasich at this particular time. They were named by the chairman of the state committee or by election of the delegation. And, there's no guarantee that any one candidate is going to have the majority of members of that committee. I've been around for two other convention rules committees in 08 and 12. And these were years when we had presumptive nominees. And in those particular committee hearings, it was the presumptive nominee who literally had minders stationed throughout that room where the committee met. And if any of their members got out of line, trust me, there was a guy who had their arm on theirs telling them the way that they were going to vote or not vote. That's just not going to be the case in this particular session. So if there is debate and controversy going back and forth, it's going to strictly be as a result of democracy. There may not be a presumptive nominee, which means that there won't be an overwhelming influence by the presumptive nominee in that particular hearing. And this will go the same for the platform committee and for the contest committee as well.
Okay. Well, yeah, Bill, here's the problem. I mean, if there is... If Donald Trump goes in with the most delegates,
right,
and he doesn't get if he doesn't have the majority, and he doesn't get to the 12-37 he needs, and it's opened up then to second, third, fourth ballots, and somebody else wins, the Trump supporters out there and Trump himself are going to be very angry, and I'm not sure what's going to happen after the convention, but I'm sure Donald Trump will cry foul and say they stole it from me, and then who knows what's going to happen.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Bruce Ash, stick around. We've got another segment to go. Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Fine Framing and their gallery, moesgallery.com. Check it out. Be right back. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday. We'll meet the new dean of the University of Arizona Eller College of Management. Plus, where are you going on vacation this year? Our new monthly travel segment with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. We'll have some great travel suggestions on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, Monday Political Face-Off with us, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Bruce Ash is on the live line from Washington, D.C. Bruce was called back for a meeting at the Republican National Committee, where he is the chairman of the Rules Committee for the RNC. And Paul Eckerstrom's with me in studio. Paul was at the Bernie Sanders event. He was feeling the burn. Yeah. And I was asking you during the break, lots of young people love this 74-year-old man.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think it's because he's talking to not just their issues, but generally the middle class issues and people being able to get a decent paying job making sure that people don't come out of college or junior colleges with huge amounts of debt that's hurt the middle class over the years. And I think, because of that, he's tapping into a lot of the anger of the middle class that Donald Trump is. But I think he's doing it in a much more proactive, positive way by offering real solutions, kind of resurrecting a lot of the old progressive movement issues that Franklin Roosevelt implemented back in the New Deal. And I think that's why he's playing well with a lot of those younger people, even though he's an older candidate.
Bruce Ash, you were on the air doing Emil Franzi's show on Saturday while all the fireworks were going at the TCC, and of course the photograph that has now gone viral and on front page around the world of the gentleman, I believe he's been identified as a airman who really KO'd a protester at the TCC. Some of your thoughts about that, Bruce Ash.
Well, thank you. I will bet you that when Bill Clinton spoke at Sunnyside High and when Bernie Sanders appeared at the TCC over the weekend, and as they also appeared elsewhere in Arizona, that there were not vicious protesters who were literally in the face of all of the people who just went there to listen to and to see the candidate, Donald Trump. the attacks that were made upon the people who went in peace to that rally were further indication of the problem that exists all through America, where conservative speakers are constantly being harassed when they go to college campuses and to other organizations, being denied access to speak because there's one side who doesn't want anybody to know about the conservative movement and what these particular speakers are all about. I would invite you to go to Facebook. There's a local police officer who did his own video of what happened. He was not there in an official capacity as a Tucson police officer. He was just an observer and didn't go there as a Trump supporter, but I think walked away from that experience very, very shaken by what he saw. Alan Michaels, who was a well-known radio personality, was there. I think he was shaken. Another person that I know who called into the show on Saturday was also attacked repeatedly by individuals coming and going. And you know, free speech is free speech. They have just as much of a right to express themselves as others, but not to the point of somebody else's nose where they feel in peril for their own lives. And that certainly has been the case, not just in Tucson, but in venues all over the country.
Well, look, I mean, Donald Trump, when he first started speaking, was not getting any protests. When he started deriding Mexicans, when he started deriding Muslims, when he started basically using fear and division to denigrate groups in our society, that's when he started getting protests. And by the way, these protesters, I mean, the guy that got hit did nothing in terms of anything physical. He just had a sign. And he was being escorted out at the time when he got clocked. And then he got kicked while he was on the ground. There was nothing like that from the protesters. Yes, the protesters were outside chanting as well as people were coming in. But that's everybody's right in America is to go ahead and protest. There's a thing called free speech. Now, in terms of disrupting Donald Trump's inside, people were being escorted out, but they don't deserve to be clocked like that and hit. And luckily, he wasn't hurt severely or anything like that, but it certainly looked bad. And, I blame this on Donald Trump, not on protesters outside or protesters even inside. I blame this on Donald Trump because he's been inciting this, and he's been degrading people and trying to divide us and use fear and anger to divide us. That's what happens when you do that. And so his supporters think it's okay to go ahead and punch somebody in the face.
Cynthia.
Paul, as usual, decides to take the one situation that has been publicized to make an overarching point. And the point is, Paul, Donald Trump, whether I agree or you agree with him or not, has a First Amendment right to speak.
I agree with that.
And the protesters also have their place as well. However,
I agree with that too.
Although the Tucson Police Department did an admirable job with shorthanded help, I might add, the protesters should have been kept at a safe distance so that there could be free access in and out of that venue.
All right. Well, all the TV film I saw was they did have free access. They did have to walk by demonstrators, but they were kept at bay, and they were able to walk in and listen to Donald Trump.
All right. We've got two callers, and we've got less than 3 minutes, but let's go right at it. Cynthia, go ahead. You're with us, Cynthia.
Thank you. I'll try to be quick. Okay. I was there Saturday, and I observed the left simply does not respect the First Amendment. They do not, and they will not. And at some point, the Democrat Party is going to have to stand up to them.
All right. Thank you, Cynthia. Ingrid, you are with us. Hello, Ingrid.
Okay. I'll say quickly that is who's dividing whom? We keep hearing about Atzlan. We hear about the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I would say that's dividing us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ingrid.
Well, you know, rhetoric does matter. And what you say does matter. And what Donald Trump has been saying has been divisive in this country. And I think that's why he's drawn protests from people who don't really appreciate that. I mean, our politics should be uniting, not dividing. And unfortunately, we've already had enough division in the country. And what Trump has been doing in this election is making it even worse. And he, rather than in uniting people, I mean, I frankly was at the Bernie Sanders event and was very impressed by the fact that he wasn't being divisive in terms of confronting problems. He was actually offering solutions to problems.
And as far as the cop speaking out, Bruce and Paul, certainly the cop has a right to free speech. A lot of people on Facebook have been real angry about the officer who went to the rally. Not in uniform, he's an off-duty cop, so he certainly has a right, right, Bruce Ash, to speak out?
He does, and Paul Eckerstrom apparently believes in the First Amendment as long as you believe in the same things he does. And he believes in the Second Amendment, I found in our conversations over the years, as long as there's a whole bunch of buts and ifs and ands associated with it. Look, the First Amendment is the First Amendment.
True.
The Second Amendment, you know, stands on its own. And you know, the voters are going to decide ultimately if Donald Trump's going to be the nominee or whoever that person's going to be. And the delegates who go to the Republican National Convention in Cleveland from July 18th through the 21st will be there representing the voters in all 50 states and six territories. By the way, I think it's interesting to note that the RNC allows complete representation by all of the six territories. The DNC doesn't allow any of those territories to vote, and they only give them half status at the DNC. So,
right.
You know, that should tell a little bit of a story about what the DNC says and what the DNC does.
Bill, very quickly. It's not just me criticizing Donald Trump for being divisive and inciting violence. It's his own party, including people like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. They've all condemned this type of behavior.
All right. Paul Eckerstrom, thanks, Paul, for coming in. And Bruce Ash, thanks for speaking with us from D.C. and have a safe journey back. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure. Can't wait to get home.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985. Go by and check it out. They've got great custom frame mirrors. I've got some in my own home. Art for your walls, picture framing. Certainly Moe has done all of my picture framing over the last many years. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Back. If you love to garden like I do, check out Green Things. They've got so many, many acres, up to 13 acres with 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. The weather is perfect. They've got roses now, $29.95, as I recall, in 5-gallon containers. I've had nothing but great luck with Green Things for the roses. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. Check it out. Jan and Jack are the owners. They do a great job. Mark Napier is here. Mr. Napier, 4 years ago, ran against Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. Mr. Napier is a Republican, and he is mulling over whether or not to challenge Democrat Chris Nanos in the upcoming Pima County Sheriff's election. How are you, Mark?
I'm very well, Bill. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. What is going into your decision process at this point?
Well, the fact that I work full-time at the University of Arizona.
You do what there?
I'm the Associate Director of Parking and Transportation, so I oversee all the university's parking programs, transportation programs, and I'm also a member of the Appointed Professionals Advisory Council, and I sit as a member of President Hart's cabinet there. So I have a large responsibility at the University of Arizona, and as you know, Pima County is a very big place, and running a countywide election is a very serious undertaking, and I'm assessing the degree to which I have a support network sufficient to run a very good campaign.
If you do decide to run, what would be some of the issues that you would be campaigning on?
Well, I think first, Bill, we have to realize that public safety is not a partisan issue. We really shouldn't be discussing R's and D's. Public safety is a human condition. It's a community condition, and we ought to really get beyond political ideology. There's far too much of that, I think you'd agree, in the current political landscape, and that that should not run into public safety, something that all of us care about. So I think I'd want to divest ourselves from the R&D issue, but also to look at the current performance of our sheriff. Just a few weeks ago, one of his commanders sent out a hit piece on me using the department's email server, a department cell phone, And that's a clear violation of the law. It's not one of these kind of gray areas where I could say, well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, because I'm a fair person, but it's a clear violation of the law. And the sheriff is asked about it, and he says it's a fairly benign issue. Well, I don't think, you know, fracture of the law by the people that we entrust to uphold the law is a benign issue at all. You know, there's just been a lot of things. Bill, he's currently under investigation for potential assault against the union president. There's the issue of the Federal Bureau of Investigation on the cafe in the Sheriff's Department lobby. You know, a lot of people will say, well, that's a minor issue. And I beg to differ in the fact that a good executive of any organization would know that that cafe gives the appearance of impropriety. And so you'd want to be sure that you'd really dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. And he really made light of that. And instead of owning up to perhaps there's some mistakes made and welcoming an investigation to make the department better, he went on a rant of an attack on the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which undermines, moreover, the confidence that people have in criminal justice agencies, which, as we both know, is under attack in current society. And that's really unfortunate that we have a sheriff that is really on the attack and actually has alienated our governor from Southern Arizona by saying that his border safety initiative is an insult. Well, it's not an insult. It may be a plan that you disagree with. But the sheriff really needs to be on board with that kind of thing and developing support and resources to come to Southern Arizona instead of alienate those saints.
So you're at the point now where you're going to make a decision very soon.
Well, absolutely, Bill. It's necessary to make a decision very soon because the signatures have to be in by June 1st. I feel like you probably need about 2,000 signatures to be sure that you're over the limit because I think it's 771 that you actually need. So we'd want to be sure that we get that done. And there has to be time to raise money. Fortunately, I was blessed to have 167,000 citizens of Pima County vote for me last time, and I don't take that for granted. I'm not a politician. I'm a regular guy, and the fact that that many people had confidence in me, both Republicans and Democrats, last time, that really means something to me in a very deep and personal way. And so I'd want to run a good campaign. I would reach out to Democrats. I went to a lot of Democrat events last time. Because this isn't a Republican and Democrat issue. This is really a quality of life issue, and everybody benefits from that.
People who don't know you, and we're always having new listeners and new visitors to Southern Arizona and new residents. My goodness, 4 years can be like an eternity, can't it, Mark, to yeah. People moving into the area. Yeah. Just a little bit about yourself and your background and law enforcement background specifically.
Well, I started as a police officer in the state of Iowa in 1981. I was a police officer in a small town there from 81 to 87.
What town was that?
It was Marshalltown, Iowa.
Okay.
Met my darling wife, Marlene, and her and I will be married 33 years this June. And we decided we had enough of the Iowa weather and came to Arizona in 1987. And I took a position with Tucson Police. There I moved up through the ranks. I was decorated 5 times in the line of duty and eventually retired as police captain with Tucson Police. While I was going through my police career, I went back to school, got my undergraduate degree in social psychology, and went on to get my master's degree from Boston University in criminal justice. I went up to the Phoenix Valley, and I was assistant director of the Glendale Police Department for a year. And then I thought, okay, well, I've kind of round the table in law enforcement. I'll go ahead and retire. I had a wonderful opportunity at the University of Arizona, and I've been with the university since 2009 and really love the university environment and working and hearing different points of view. Sometimes that wasn't always available to me as a law enforcement professional. I currently work for Boston University. I manage their online master's criminal justice program, and I have since 2001. So.
And I understand your son is now in law enforcement.
Yeah, I'm very proud of my youngest son, Travis, has followed in his father's footsteps, and he is a Westside Tucson police officer on duty right now, in fact.
He must be concerned about the cutbacks. At the police department,
yeah,
or planned cutbacks, the proposal.
When I was a police captain, I think our staffing was somewhere around 1,000 to 1,100 ish, and now we're down to the 800 level. And Bill, it's just not possible to do good community police work and with staffing levels that low. Intellectually, we know that it takes about 2.0 to 2.4 per 1,000 staffing to do good community policing. And right now, they're purely reactionary, and that really doesn't provide the best service for the citizens of Tucson, despite the best efforts of the men and women who are out there on the line trying to do it every day like my son is.
Okay, Mark Napier, thank you very much. Let us know, okay, when you make your decision.
I will, Bill. Thank you for having me on. You're a good
thank
friend.
You. Thank you. It's good to catch up with you and what you're doing. Mark Napier, he'll have his decision on whether or not he'll be running for sheriff probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, a week? What are we talking about?
certainly by the 1st of April.
Oh, okay, 1st of April. Thank you very much. This portion of Buckmaster presented by our friends at Vero Amore. I love their pizza. And who wouldn't? They're celebrating this Wednesday's the big anniversary, 10 years. So at the Plaza Palomino and Dove Mountain locations, there will be a lot of fun. We understand there'll be some live music, too, out at Plaza Palomino on Wednesday night. And here's some interesting information. Vero Amore will be offering items not only from the original menu, but for the final 2 weeks of March, the pricing goes back 10 years, too. Our friend Ed Alexander was over there over the weekend, said he had a great meal, and he couldn't believe how inexpensive the price point was. Well, back up 10 years, that's why. All right. Thank you, Vero Amore, for your support. We'll talk with Anthony Gimeno about Wildcat Sports right after this.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. In 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five Star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Monday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona, the day before the Arizona primary. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great road trip this makes. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, great places to stay like Gila Hot Springs Ranch, Bear Mountain Lodge, just to name a few, 24 or so places listed on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, and many, many things to do, all of the things like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, antiquing in historic Silver City, all located on the website, southwestnewmexico.org. Anthony Jimeno is a sports journalist who, for two decades, has covered UA athletics, including covering the football beat for The Star and the TucsonCitizen.com, and most recently providing sports content for KOLD-TV on their website, TucsonNewsNow.com. He is the senior editor at Lindy's College Football Annuals. He's the co-author of a book, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and he is a co-host and was a co-host for the season for the Wildcats basketball pre- and post-game show on Sports Radio AM 1290. Did you notice, Anthony, I added senior editor at Lindy's College Football Annuals to your bio?
I saw that. You know, what I also noticed was that you had to refer to the basketball season in the past tense.
Yes.
He was.
Was.
Co-host this year.
One and done. And, of course, this, for those of us who've been around a while, and that's you and me, this brings back bad memories of some of those first-round CAD exits, doesn't it?
Or no? Yes and no.
All right.
This wasn't like a loss to Santa Clara or East Tennessee State. You know, when Arizona played Wichita State last week, they actually went off as a betting pick'em in Vegas.
Wow.
So this was, you know, it was a 6 seed versus an 11 seed, an 11 seed that was probably better than an 11 seed. So in that sense, it wasn't this huge upset like we saw some 20-some years ago. And, you know, Arizona had that run of 3 first-round losses in 4 years.
Oh.
You remember? You remember that? Santa Clara, East Tennessee State, and then 1995, Miami of Ohio.
Right.
Whose assistant coach was one Sean Miller, which sometimes people forget. But and those were all pretty startling upsets. This was just a game in which Wichita State played better. I mean,
but AG, what this does is it does reinforce a perception that the Cats are not a good tournament team. Yes, or no?
I might disagree with you again a little bit, Bill.
But okay.
This is also going back to Sean Miller's time at Xavier. Sean has only lost twice in the tournament when he's been a better seed. Once was a couple years ago when Arizona was a 1 and Wisconsin was a 2, and again, that was pretty much a pick 'em game. And then this game where Arizona was a 6. Arizona, at least under Sean, has been a team that you can pretty much count on to take care of its business, which is part of, you know, maybe that's why this was a little bit startling. He generally does not lose when he's supposed to win in the tournament. Now, for another year, at least, he's going to have to carry around that title of perhaps best coach not to go to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something Sean has to deal with. He's gone to Xavier. He's been to 3 regional finals at Arizona, which, you know, the bright side, big picture of this, Arizona's been to 3 regional finals in 6 years.
Yeah.
So there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the program. But does Arizona need to kind of validate the program through the NCAA tournament? I'd probably say yes, because it's now been 15 years since they've been to a Final Four. And I think you can point to Arizona as being elite in a lot of areas. But if you haven't been to a Final Four in 15 years, that undercuts your case. So Arizona does need to make a run, and it may happen as soon as next year. You never know.
I liked your article in Tucson News Now, the one you posted. In the end, Arizona was missing the nasty gene. In other words, this team just needs, especially coming back for next year, it's got to really beef up the toughness area, doesn't it?
Yeah, they were. You look at them, and you knew they were physical because they were big. They had size. But were they really tough? You knew they were an older team. They had a ton of experience, but did they really have a leader? And it's not just me saying that as a postmortem. Sean was saying that a lot in the last month of the year, if you're really listening to him, talking about the personality of the team. There was just, I don't even want to say they didn't play hard, because I think by and large they played reasonably hard, but when pretty much all of their losses, if you look at them, you can say the other team played harder. You know, maybe Arizona wasn't loafing, but the other team played harder. That was certainly the case against Wichita State. And if you play hard, maybe that's not quite enough to just play hard. You have to match the other team. And Arizona in the last couple years maybe didn't have to do that because they had NBA lottery talent. They had first-round picks. They had guys who were physical freaks. This team didn't have that. So I don't know if they thought they could just get by again because, hey, we're Arizona, we're good. This is a team that always needed to at least match its opponent in terms of effort and energy. And when they didn't, we saw usually a bunch of close losses. Really, the one against Wichita State wasn't that close at all.
Where will the Cats be picked then for next year?
There's so much to happen yet. It's going to be, they could be a national championship favorite, or they could be picked maybe third or fourth in the Pac-12. There's so much roster construction that still needs to take place. We don't know if Alonzo Trier is coming back. So Arizona loses four seniors, possibly Alonzo Trier. I wouldn't expect Elliot Pitts to be back. They already had an open scholarship, so that's seven potential vacancies at least, not even considering the possibility of a guy who may transfer. They're still in the running for a kid named Josh Jackson, who's the number one recruit in the country. He'd be the clearly the most highly rated guy who ever signed with Arizona if he commits here. It's going to be between Arizona, Michigan State, perhaps Kansas, and he may decide here before the end of the month.
Wow.
So we'll know real soon, and Sean's on some other five-star kids, some four-star kids. I would expect him to add a transfer or two perhaps during the summer, you know, perhaps after April, May, once all the NBA declarations happen. So there's a lot to be determined yet. If Arizona gets Josh Jackson, that right there will stamp Arizona as a top 10 team, if not better going into next year.
Wow. Let's talk a little football. I've only got about a minute left. Did the spring practice, did it wrap up now?
They have three more practices this week, so they'll end on Friday. And it's been a really low-key affair. They've not let the media see a lot of it. So I think everybody wants to know, hey, what's our new defense going to look like? It's really hard to say. Except philosophically, everybody's talking about this is going to be a run-around, aggressive, more attacking style of defense. So that's kind of the personality of the four new coaches on the defensive side of the ball. They're younger, more aggressive. They've already started to make some waves in recruiting, which is going to be really key for them. Other than that, kind of business as usual on the offensive side. But we'll have to still wait several months before we really see what the defense is going to look like.
Do we open at in Phoenix against BYU? There's like a nationally televised game.
Yes, the first weekend, I think it's September 3rd. Arizona will play BYU up in Glendale. It's the first of a three-game series with BYU. BYU will come here to Tucson. Arizona will go to Provo. But the first one's in Glendale, and that should be at the Cardinal Stadium. So that's going to be kind of fun, and Arizona still has 7 home games, so
wow.
Lots to see down in Tucson as well.
How'd they luck out with that many home games again? That's
so it's one of those, it's the rotating year where they get ASU.
Mm-hmm.
So you either get 5 Pac-12 home games or 4. So this is the year Arizona gets 5 Pac-12 home games. Mm-hmm. Then there are other 2 non-conference games in addition to BYU are here.
Okay.
So that's not terribly unusual. Now, next year it won't probably quite be as much because then they'll go back and play up in Tempe, but should be a pretty good home schedule.
All right. Anthony Gimeno, I can't wait for football. You know I love college football. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great day.
Hi, Bill.
All right. Anthony Gimeno with us, our Wildcat sports contributor, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen will be here for that, and then Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe in this very studio from 6 to 8 tomorrow morning, and the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone, sticks around from 8 to 9. Him and a guest host every day, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, in this very studio at 12:04 on Tuesday, tomorrow on The Buckmaster Show. Until then, on behalf of Mr. Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.